Welcome to worship on this, the first Sunday in the month of June. It's Trinity Sunday, and I'm grateful to be able to be back with you and join you in worship this morning. There are announcements that are listed on the back of your worship bulletin, and you can read those as they are listed there for you. I do have one that was given to me to share with you, and that is today, this afternoon at 2:30, there is a flutist, Jeremy McIntyre, and pianist, Charles Hewlin, who are joined by the festival musicians to present a concert today. All events take place at Laxter Baptist Church and are free and open to the public. So if you'd wish to go and be a part of that, it's certainly available to you this afternoon. I think it's wonderful that on Trinity Sunday, we sing this beautiful chorus together as our call to worship. It's listed in your bulletin there. And I would ask you then, as we started, to kind of sing softly the beginning of each verse of the chorus, but then when we get to the end of it, sing that a little bit louder, and we'll kind of build each time as we sing this wonderful chorus, Glorify Thy Name. So I invite you to stand as we sing together. Join together now in the responsive reading of our spoken call to worship. Welcome this day to worship and the celebration of God's magnificent creation.
Thanks be to God, the Creator of heavens and earth.
Welcome to this day to worship and recognition of God's redeeming love. Welcome this day to worship and the joy of God's Holy Spirit of truth and power.
Thanks be to God, the Sustainer, who walks with us every day, guiding and guarding our steps along the way.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for a time to worship together. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather and celebrate your love for us, your gifting of life to us, the very breath of life, showing us your wonderful love in your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, this worship is an offering today to you, to all that you are to us as our God and Father. Pour out your blessings on us now as we worship together. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn number one, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you. Did you start learning on a bicycle? Like, you went from, you, when you're a baby, first you can't do anything, right? Then you crawl, then you walk, and then when your parents start getting you stuff, did they get you a bicycle right away?
No.
No, what did they get you?
A tricycle.
A tricycle. So it starts with the word tri.
Three wheels.
Three wheels. Now, there's a mathematical shape, the triangle. And everybody thinks the definition of a triangle is actually a three-sided figure, but the actual definition is three angles because tri means three. Have you ever seen this symbol before?
Yes.
Yes. You know what it's called?
Yeah.
It's called the traquetra. So again, it starts with T-R-I. And today's Sunday is Trinity Sunday, which begins with T-R-I. And tri means three. Now, what do you notice about this particular symbol? It has 3 points.
And it looks like a triangle.
And it looks a little like a triangle. This is what they're looking at. This is the triquetra symbol. Now, can you tell where one part ends and another part begins?
No.
No, you can't on this, can you?
It's like an infinite loop.
It's an infinite loop, exactly. Good mathematical term there, Jasmine. That's just like the Trinity in that we study today and we talk about on Trinity Sunday. God comes in three persons. God the Father, who created us. Christ, Jesus, God who came as Jesus, who saved us. And then God the Holy Spirit that keeps us and guides us evermore. Can we tell one part from the other? No. All three parts are one person, but they're all there for us. So today on this Trinity Sunday, we want to thank God for that. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for the Trinity. Thank you for sending us and giving us God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In your Son's name, amen.
Good to have a math teacher that can help us with those mathematical symbols. Thank you, Sarah. The Old Testament reading is Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 6. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took on our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The word of God for the people of God. And you're on the prayer list for today. DK's nephew, James Jones, is in the hospital in Greenville having some health issues. And Lynette Bunch is at ECU Health in a Husky. Are there others we need to think about? Okay. Well, as we remember these in prayer, certainly continue to pray for your pastor search committee and the work that they do, and certainly there are many other needs within the life of the church. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious God, as we worship together this morning, we lift up to you those names have been mentioned, others that are on our hearts and minds this day that have special needs. Lord, we pray for people that are not doing well physically, people whose lives are in conflict and struggling, people, Lord, that are dealing with food insecurity, people that have been impacted by different things that have happened all across our country and around the world. We pray, Lord, for you to provide peace and to bring strength and wholeness into people's lives. We pray, Lord, for the church and the work the church does each and every day to be a light on a hill, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and ministering to others that they come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. So, Father, this day we thank you for the work of the church. A day, Lord, known as Trinity Sunday, and we thank you, God, that you're a God in three, as God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're grateful for the work, God, that you have done and continue to do in our lives as God the Father, for what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and how you continue to equip us and spiritually fill us that we be about your work in our community each day. Lord, I pray you pour out your blessings on this church. I pray for the search committee, the work that they're doing, as they're guided by your Spirit in decision making that are so important for what will happen in this church in the years ahead. Continue, Lord, as we worship you together now, to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We stand and sing together hymn number 9, Holy God, we praise your name. We learn even in the Old Testament, early on, it was God's people were really required by God to bring the very best they had before him with an offering. The best of whatever they had, whether it was from the fruits of their labors or from their crops or from the fields, from the pastures, they were to bring their best. May we continue that tradition and bring the best that we have to God with our offerings this day. Heavenly Father, we gather before you here with the gifts that we bring this day, praying, God, that you bless these gifts and those that give them. And Lord, that in your own miraculous way you multiply these gifts. They're used through the life of this church to share the good news about Jesus Christ with others. They're used through the life of this church to minister to human needs in this community and beyond. They're used through the life of this church with the hope and the prayer that someone else will come to know Christ as a Lord and Savior. Thanks be to you, God, for all that you've given to us and for the gifts we bring to you this day. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen. The New Testament reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, and it's Luke's account of the time when Jesus was having what we call the Last Supper with his disciples. In chapter 22, the reading begins in verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink it again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." This is the word of the Lord.
Bread is broken as a toast.
you don't mind if I... I've been dealing with a bronchitis for about a week and a half. I apologize for this voice. It's usually stronger than this. And I thought I could whip it myself, I reckon, but the older you get, you don't beat those things by yourself anymore. You have to get some help. So by Thursday, I decided I wasn't winning the battle and visited the doctor. Now I've got some medication. Maybe I'll get over it. Thursday and Friday, I didn't know whether Tommy would be here or not, and I probably would have scared him to death, but I am getting better, so, and I'm glad I can be here this morning. So with a little bit of water, maybe I'll make it through the rest of this service. Often when I come at a time to celebrate the Lord's Supper, it causes me to remember. When you see this table in front of you set that we'll participate in just a few minutes, I would think that when you came in, you thought, there's something to this that I remember. I remember what Jesus Christ has done for me. We remember lots of things in our lives. There are important dates that we remember. We remember birthdays. We remember wedding anniversaries. We remember the passing of family and friends. We remember different dates within our nation. Just this past Monday was Memorial Day, a day that's been set aside to remember those who've lost their lives through all the wars that served in one of our branches of the armed service. It was a day of remembrance. Soon we'll be to July the 4th. That's a day to remember our independence. There are different dates in this world that are significant to us that we will always remember. There are things about the life of a church that we remember as well. How many of you know what date this church was constituted? Don't look it up real quick. Do you know the exact date? Anybody? You're going to celebrate the anniversary come November. I gave you part of it already. November the 21st, 1848. Write that down. That's the date Murfreesboro Baptist Church was constituted. 175 years you'll celebrate come November, correct? You're having the 175th anniversary. So you remember the date. You remember the history of this church. You remember when buildings were built. You remember ministers that have come to this church. Some of you may remember part-time youth ministers that came to this church. I was one back in the 70s here, and we had a wonderful time with the young people for the 2 years that I served here while I was a college student. I remember when I came back and served as your interim a few years ago and the good experiences that we had together during that time. So we remember things about the life of the church. We remember the lives that we live. COVID has such an impact on us. We talk about things being pre-COVID and things being post-COVID or after COVID. Why? Because we remember how that impacted our lives. Back to the church, we remember baptisms that occurred. In our lives, we remember the graduations of a child or even ourselves from high school or college. Or you remember your first job. Why we remember all of this? Because it has significance to our lives. It has impacted our lives in some form or other. And also this remembrance keeps us connected. You think about it. When you remember these various things, whether it's a birth or a wedding, an anniversary, or a graduation, it keeps you connected to another person. You're not just remembering it about yourself. You're remembering it because it has you tied to someone else. These dates and these events are important, and they keep us connected, and they've helped shape us to who we are, and they've influenced us into who we are today. So we come to the Last Supper, as it is often called in the Scriptures, or the Lord's Supper, a time when Jesus shared a meal with his disciples. And he led them then to the observance of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, or Passover as we know it. He wanted them to remember what had taken place. He was creating a new understanding of the Passover and the importance of the feast. Because he said to them, you go back and read the scriptures again in Luke, he said to them, "You will do this in remembrance of me." He mentioned as they would celebrate it in the years to come, it would be celebrated in the remembrance of Jesus. And so here we are as we worship on this day, known as Trinity Sunday, and we celebrate the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've come to celebrate the Lord's Supper as we remember the love of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us through his sacrifice. He became the sacrificial lamb, taking our place on the cross. And every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, every time, I hope there's one thing that you remember above everything else, and that is you remember what Jesus Christ has done for you. The Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance. We remember the past when we think about the Lord's Supper. Jesus really takes us all the way back to Exodus chapter 12, where the story is there about the point where they get to the last plague as God is seeking to intervene and miraculously deliver his people from the slavery and the bondage of Egypt by the leader Moses. And so Jesus takes them back to that. Thinking of Moses, 2 weeks ago, Linda and I went on a trip with three couples from the church we had served in Clinton that as an interim, which we brought closure to back in January. We went with these three couples up to the Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to see the drama Moses. That's the one that they have going right now. And they do it really well. Now, they add a little bit to it, I mean, to make it really work out well as a drama, but it is a wonderful, wonderful presentation of the life of Moses from the time he was placed in the river until the time they crossed the Red Sea. They get that much of it done in about 2.5 hours. Beautiful, beautiful presentation. But it caused me to remember then some of the things that happened in the life of Moses and what I gleaned from my own memory and understanding of the scriptures. And this Jesus takes us back to that time where a miracle of God was taking place. And we remember the final plague, that being the one where the death angel would take the firstborn of all the people in the land of Egypt. And the Israelites, those in bondage, were informed, you sacrifice a lamb. You take the blood from the lamb and you smear it over the doorpost frame of where you stay, so that as a death angel makes its way through the land, it will pass over you and your child will not be taken. And the people, and that final plague, of course, finally got to the hardened heart of the Pharaoh, and we know that he let them go. He couldn't take it any longer because he lost his son. He let them go. And so as they made their way out of Egypt and into the wilderness and on to this very day, they celebrate Passover. This was what was happening with Jesus with the disciples. It was a Passover time. And the sacrificial lamb was a part of that. The unleavened bread was a part of that. They would remember their deliverance from Egypt. And so we look back into the history when we think of this time, as Jesus drew the attention of his disciples back to that time as well. Secondly, as we come to remember, we remember what Jesus did for us. He became the sacrificial lamb for you and me. At Passover, in the time of Egypt, they sacrificed a lamb. And they took the blood of that lamb, of course, and put it over the doorpost. But it was Christ who took that on himself. And if we don't believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior, then judgment is on us. By putting our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, you could say, in essence, the death angel passes over us because eternity is ours. Heaven is ours through Christ and what he's done for us. Christ gave up his life that we might have life and have it abundantly here on this earth and have it eternally when we've taken our last breath on earth. Jesus did this for us, and we need to remember. And finally, we need to remember that Jesus did this for you and for me. Now you say, well, you've already said that. Well, it gets personal here. Because many times, if you read this, Jesus used the word you here. He says, my blood was poured out for you. He didn't use a general term, you know, my blood was poured out for all the world at that moment. There was just a small band of disciples around him, and he said, my blood is being poured out for you. He got very personal with those around the table. My blood is being poured out for you. My body is being broken for you. It became personal. He made it clear to his disciples that night at the table that he was doing all of this for you. And when we take the Lord's Supper today and we remember, and we hold that bread, we ought to remember Jesus did this to ourselves and say, he did this for me. He died for me. He was crucified on that cross for me. He loves me so much and he gave up his life for me. Indeed, that does make it personal. It's a time to remember. And as we remember, we come and we give thanks and we celebrate. We shouldn't come to this Lord's table with a lot of sadness or sorrow. We should come to the Lord's table in celebrating that Christ would love us so much to do this for us. And that we should never, never forget he's done it for us. And we should celebrate the Lord's Supper until the Lord returns. He's asked us to do that and continue the tradition that was started so long ago. So we remember what he did for us on the cross. We remember what he did for us that we might have salvation. We remember what he did for us that we receive forgiveness. We remember because of our redemption through Christ. We remember because of being restored into an eternal relationship with our Heavenly Father. He did all of this because he loves you and me. So let us remember as we celebrate the supper. Will you pray with me? God, there's so much we remember in our lives. So much about events that are important to us that we've lived through. Many events we remember as well because we were taught them and the importance of them. But Lord, here we gather as your people in a time of worship, a time to celebrate, a time to focus on you and all that you are to us. Most importantly, around this table, a time to remember what Christ did for us in giving his life that we might have life and have a relationship restored with you by faith and trust in him. So, Lord, we come now, I pray, with thankful hearts. And we come with remembrance in our minds of the love that your Son, Jesus Christ, has for us. In his holy and precious name I pray. Amen.
often as you